going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's up, Atlanta? Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Garrett Chapman, and the Atlanta Falcons are at the front of everybody's mind right now. They just came out and did exactly what they were supposed to do. We had the draft recap show on Friday night, and honestly, that went about as well as you could expect. Because the Falcons go out and they are aggressively making moves. They are doing things that they are supposed to do. So we'll talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. We'll have Joe Patrick joining us a little bit later on in the show. He'll also join us to talk a little bit of Atlanta United. So it'll be a double segment for Joe Patrick, for Smoking Joe. But lots of Falcons discussion, lots of Braves discussion too. They lose the game today 4-6 out there in Arizona. But at the end of the day, this is a team that just win the series, win the division. That's the way you got to approach this thing. We'll go across the A coming up here in about 20 minutes, and we'll talk a little bit more Braves baseball when that comes. But let's shift gears. Because the Atlanta Falcons are what everybody's thinking about. The Falcons are what everybody's talking about right now. They did exactly what they needed to this weekend. This is a team that needed defense, desperately needed support in that front seven, and even in the secondary. And they addressed both of those needs throughout the course of the weekend. 7 sacks for this team on third down in 2024. That courtesy of Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. 7 sacks on third down. They had 31 overall. And look, I know everybody out there, you're sitting there like, oh my gosh, pass rush again? Yes, pass rush. Pass rush has been a problem that's plagued this city for a decade plus. A decade plus! And I think Terry Fontenot heard the critics. He heard the people who were screaming from the rooftops in this city. Because this team desperately needed dudes. And they got 2 of them in the first round. 2 of them! They're better today than they were on Wednesday. And ultimately, that's what every team should strive to be. To some degree, every team gets a little bit better. But the Atlanta Falcons, I think, address their needs better than anybody else in the NFL. That includes teams who pick number 1 overall, getting a quarterback. It includes teams who, like the New York Giants, who get a quarterback and they get an edge rusher. I think that the Falcons did just as good, if not better, just based off of where the teams are and what the teams needed in order to get to the playoffs in 2025. And I think the Falcons are one step closer to doing that after this weekend. They're in great shape. They're in really, really good shape. 31 sacks in 2024. That's not good enough for anything, much less a playoff run. And it's been a consistent issue for this team for as long as I can remember. I mean, you know the last time the franchise has had 2 players with double-digit sacks? 2004. 2004. And I think you now have a group that sets up to get multiple guys up to that threshold. Now, it may not be any more than 2, but it's fine. If we have several players who can jump up and get you 7.5, 8.5, 9.5 sacks, this team is going to be a lot better for it. So let's go through this. Falcons take Jaylen Walker at pick 15. And it's going to continue to be a discussion point on the station here for a very long time, because this is the first time since 1966 that the Falcons took a dog. And I think that's a little bit of an overrated storyline to some extent, but at the same time, the Georgia Bulldogs produced champions, and the Philadelphia Eagles drafted them and then won a championship. So it's something that's actually worth talking about to some extent. But he is the steal of this draft. I'm blown away. Absolutely flabbergasted that this guy was available at 15. I had him as a top seven player in this draft. Third overall defender. I had him going at least to the Saints or the Carolina Panthers, and I am thrilled that he is an Atlanta Falcon. He brings a lot of natural athleticism. He's an off-ball linebacker who can also play off the edge. A little undersized for the edge position, but he's somebody who can really get after the passer. He's a smart player, and he brings a level of leadership that this defense has been lacking. Grady Jarrett's gone. He's a guy who was a leader for this clubhouse for a long time, and he was in charge of that. That's what he did, but he's a Chicago Bear now. Jalen Walker's not going to come in here and immediately replicate that leadership aspect, but he's somebody who you're expecting to be on this roster for the next decade plus. And that matters. Having a young player, too, I want to say he's like 21 years old. He's on the young end of 21, too. So this is a guy who I think could be the dude for this Falcons defense for the next decade. He could do effectively whatever he needs to in this Jeff Ulbrich scheme. He could play that off-ball linebacker. He can play inside, even lined up in the slot. He played slot corner a couple of times last year. I mean, there's a reason this guy won the Butkus Award. A good reason. Because he's a damn good football player. He's an impact player. You need playmakers on this defense, and that's what Jalen Walker is going to be. And I know everybody was sitting there celebrating. I for one, was absolutely celebrating when Jalen Walker comes off the board. And, man, I'm like, oh, all right, Falcons have four picks left. What else we got to do? Well, I didn't think anything was going to happen that night. Certainly not that evening. I'm out walking my dog when I get the notification and about five phone calls from random people saying, Falcons are on the board! Falcons are on the board! What are we going to do? Well, they jump back up on the board. Jackson Dart's gone up to over there to New York, and then the Falcons pop up on the board, and it's like, what's going on here? And I come screaming back inside just in time for the Falcons to come on the clock and take James Pierce. Now, I didn't know what the draft compensation was at the time. I knew it was going to have to be something rich because the Falcons don't have a lot of assets in this. And they didn't have a lot of assets in this draft class. They just didn't. And so as a result, when you're trading a future pick, you're going to have to upgrade that a little bit. So you talk about what the Falcons needed. They needed a pass rush. They needed dudes. They needed guys to come in here and make impact plays. And then you have people in the same breath try to say that the Falcons overpaid to go get James Pierce. I don't think that's right. In fact, I think that's as far from the truth as you could possibly get, because this is a Falcons team who I feel like is now the front runner to win the NFC South. If that's the case, this pick with the LA Rams is effectively just a pick swap. That's all it is. And it's simple economics, too. A dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. You get another year of progression, of elevation, and James Pierce is going to get back ready with this team in 2026 just in time for them to make what I think will be a Super Bowl run. So how is anybody upset? Because you look at this draft class, you look at what they gave up in order to move up. I understand giving away a future first is a little shaky. It makes people nervous. Makes people very nervous in the NFL. It's not often that you see that kind of compensation, especially not to jump into the back end of the first round. But the Falcons clearly had somebody that they wanted. Clearly, they saw something in James Pierce that he's going to come in and immediately satisfy a need, a critical need, a dire need for this franchise. Can he come in here and be a potential 10 to 15 sack guy? Maybe not next year, but in the future? Hell yeah. He might have been the best pure pass rusher, edge rusher, in this draft class. And I was a little critical of the Falcons taking him at 15, but getting him at 26, getting him for that extra fifth year, hell yeah, sign me up. That's big time. Because Jalen Walker is your playmaker. He's now your chess piece, your Swiss Army knife, whatever overused term you really want to use to describe Jalen Walker. But James Pierce is your ball hawk, that your guy who's going to get after the quarterback, the guy who's see ball, hit ball. He's the kind of guy who every franchise needs a dude like that. I mean, Dom, you're on the board here. Did you see the picture that the Falcons posted where it's Jalen Walker and it's James Pierce on the plane flying the flowery branch? You saw that?
Mm-hmm.
One of them, Jalen Walker, dressed up in a suit, looks sharp as can be. Sharp as can be. Then you get to James Pierce and he's wearing just a bunch of sweats. I think there's something beautiful to that. Yeah. It's not a knock, not whatsoever. It's just James Pierce, he's a football player, man. He's somebody who wants to get after the quarterback and kill the guy. And I think that's what the Falcons need. They need some edge. They need some personality. They need some mean dudes. You know, one of my biggest qualms with this unit, going back a couple of years, they're too nice. They're just really nice. And I respect it to some extent. But you need to get some killers. You need to have some crazy people. Crazy people win you championships.
Is that a thing across some of the Atlanta sports? Because I feel like we say the same thing, or at least I hear Jason Longshore say the same thing a lot about United, about how like United just like they're too nice.
They're way too nice. And I have something to say about Atlanta United too. we'll get to that when we go across the A in about 10 minutes or so. But no, they were too nice. And I think you get a guy in James Pierce who's going to bring some of that edge. He's somebody who's going to come in and kind of, you know, be pissed off. And that's what this team needs. They really need it. And that's the thing. The Falcons got better. The Falcons got better on Thursday. And I saw people, ESPN specifically, ESPN Plus, I went on to just to read recaps, right? Just to see what people had to say.
Right.
And it came down, scrolling down, and then all of a sudden I see the Falcons and Rams. They were grading all the trades that we saw. They gave the Rams an A. No description at all. They just went in and dug in on the Falcons, who they gave an F for the trade. And when I was reading the blurb or whatever, it became painfully obvious that this isn't a guy who would watch the Falcons play. Because he says, well, you gave up a lot for something, for a player to jump in back into the first round, blah, blah, blah. And he gave all the analytical reasons of why it was a bad decision. Without realizing how big of a need the Falcons had in this class. And it's clear to me that Mike Green was not on their board. He was not somebody that they were interested in going to get.
Yeah.
And they saw James Pierce as just the bona fide pass rusher that they need. Donovan Ezeraku, he was somebody who I think a lot of people were a little bit interested in, but he kind of gives me Jarvis Jones vibes. Do you remember Jarvis Jones, of course, played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Played for the Georgia Bulldogs, got drafted in the first round, and he was an elite production guy in college, but then he gets into the NFL and realized, I can't just lean on technique and everything else. No. You need to have a body type.
Yeah, you need to have a specific size to kind of make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah, and I see that a little bit with, he's got longer arms than Jarvis Jones did, but Donovan Ezeraku, he's somebody who I don't think that it's going to necessarily progress in the way that we want it to for him. So I'm thrilled with this pick. I'm thrilled with what they can do. And you look now at this pass rush rotation. Yes, there's a rotation in Atlanta now. We don't just have one or two guys and then cross your fingers and pray.
Yeah, we're not just praying on Matthew Judon to get it done this
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
Like now it's like, oh, wait, we've got Jalen Walker. We got James Pierce.
Yeah.
Braylon Trice will be healthy next year. He's going to be coming back. Like, we've got a solid rotation that you feel good about. And also, all three of them, we really don't know what, they're all kind of mystery boxes right now. Like, how good are you, all three of you, really going to be? It's almost like you have three new players, especially with the way Trice, you know, had his season.
He's basically a rookie.
Yeah, he's basically a rookie.
Yeah, this is going to be his rookie season. And then what do you get from D'Angelo Malone? He's more of a special teams type of guy. But then your starters, Arnold Ebiketie, Leonard Floyd. This is a group that I think they can comfortably get to 40 sacks. If they can get to 50 sacks, this is a team who I think could very realistically run away with the NFC South. But how do we feel about the Falcons now? I'll keep talking about what my thoughts are on this draft class, because they did some stuff in the secondary that I really like and I'm at least, the very least, very interested in. We'll talk about that. Plus, I'll tell you why draft grades are irrelevant. Why they're such a silly thing. But people still love to talk about them. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 90.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Get you on the game. How do you feel about the Atlanta Falcons right now? After 3 days of NFL draft coverage, how do we feel about the Atlanta Falcons? 404-726-0929. That's the number to jump in the show if you want to talk a little bit Dirty Bird action. Did they do enough in the pass rush? Yes, I think so. Did they do enough on the defensive line? No. They didn't do anything on the defensive line. It seems like the Falcons and Terry Fontenot seem very comfortable with the guys that they have. They seem very confident in this group. Morgan Fox, they added in free agency. Zach Harrison, Ruka Roro, Kentavious Street, David Onyemata, whether or not he'll be here, TBD. He might still be a post-June 1st, but we'll see. Taequann Graham, Brandon Dorlus. That's a defensive line that I feel okay about. It's fine. Like, it's not gonna feed families necessarily, but it's enough to potentially be a middle-of-the-road unit in the NFL next year. And look, hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe they can get a little bit better. You know, maybe they can show some improvement because we got a lot of young guys. Rook is probably the guy you highlight. Second-round pick last year. Zach Harrison, somebody who you can finally, hopefully see take that next step in his development and kind of be that guy who he was recruited to be at Ohio State and then subsequently drafted by the Falcons to be for this team. And I think ultimately the defensive line is where a lot of critics will say that the Falcons came up short. But look, you only have so many picks. And the Falcons especially did not have a whole lot of picks. Instead, they looked to get a potential competitor on the offensive line in Jack Nelson. They get him in the seventh round, pick 218. TBD, if he makes the roster, maybe he's a practice squad guy. Who knows? He and Storm Norton are the now in competition to kind of be in that swing tackle role. But it's interesting there, at least. It's a guy who can just kind of come in and kind of compete for playing time. I don't know how much, or just a depth role, I should say. But did they do enough at the cornerback position? Well, they didn't do anything. Not really. I'm still not 100% convinced that the secondary is where it needs to be. I like what they did in the safety room. I like what they did on the backside of the defense there. Xavier Watts, I think, is one of the other big steals of the draft. And I know that I was able to react to that one live. You talk about one of the best playmakers in this draft class. Wes Durham was through the roof. I had talked to him on Thursday before heading into the first round of coverage. They were down there at the Benz, and I was up there with Dukes and Bell. He was telling me on the side that he would be surprised if the Falcons trade back and take Xavier Watts in the first round. He's one of the best playmakers in this draft class. Some people had him as high as a first-round draft grade. Falcons get him in the beginning of the third round. It's insane. Huge, unbelievable value for the Falcons with Xavier Watts. And then you double down and go get Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma, fourth-round pick. Pick 118, one of the few picks that I think you actually, well, I guess that was the second pick that they traded. Never mind. Like, this is a group that I think that those two are very intelligent football players, and they're good playmakers on the ball. Bowman's somebody who's probably going to come in here and kind of fill that role that Kevin King had last season, where he's going to kind of be that, not exactly a box safety, but he's going to come in there and be a kind of a nickel corner, somebody who can come in there and hit if he needs to. But ultimately, I think that the Falcons in the safety room are effectively set. Maybe they can go make a move. I know Jalen Ramsey's had his name floated, and they're talking about potentially moving him to a role in the secondary with the safety position. But I don't think that that's necessarily going to happen. Not unless you answer the biggest question that's really still looming for this Falcons team heading into the remainder of this offseason. Is Kirk Cousins going to be an Atlanta Falcon? What's he going to do? 404-726-0929. We got some time for some phone calls. Let's go to James. James, you're in the game, bud. How are you?
Hey, good, man. How y'all doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. What's up?
Good. Good draft, man. I still like to see us go get a veteran receiver somewhere because, again, if Drake London or Mooney goes down, we're in trouble. And I'd also take a look in the free agent market and maybe like Asante Samuel Jr. or something like that. But if we're going to go all in, we need to go all in.
Yeah, and James, thanks for the call. I don't think the Falcons are going all in per se. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But I think that your point is not falling on deaf ears. This is a wide receiver room that I described as a sneaky need for the Atlanta Falcons. Because Ray McCloud, all due respect, is not a guy that I'm necessarily super over the moon about as your third wide receiver. I think he's fine. Like, look, he's a good player. He made some big plays last year. Kadero Hodge, he made a big play against the Buccaneers last year to win that game. Chris Blair, Casey Washington. Okay. Like, it's not really he's not a lot that really gets me super excited outside of your top two guys. Darnell Mooney, Drake London, those two are studs. It's a great 1-2 punch. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, you can kind of throw those guys into the passing game as well. Kyle Pitts, I mean, hopefully he can finally take a step forward here. But look, I think that wide receiver is a sneaky need. Maybe they can go out and fill that in free agency still. You still have some guys who are out there. Not really any super sexy names. I also don't expect the Falcons to make a lot of trades to go with and give away more draft capital. Because Terry Fontenot has been very aggressive, and the Falcons are already leveraging future picks. You had to trade away a future fifth-round pick to go up and get Xavier Watts. I mean, like, look, this is a group that I think needs to hold on to some of this draft capital next year. You don't want to give it all away, mostly because I think 2026 is the year that you're going to gear up and go all in on this team. All in 2026. 2025 is a year of let's make it to the playoffs and see what we can do. And I'll make my case for that later on in the show. But you got to tune in for that. Let's go back out to back out to the phone lines. John, you're in the game, man. What's up?
Atlanta Falcons families, people associated with the team. Can we have an off season without somebody doing something stupid, dumb, and asinine? Please. This boy that went out here and did something stupid. He needs to be running the length, breadth, and width of Flowery Branch with the team for the next 45 days, every day at 6 o'clock, to emphasize to him just how dumb and stupid it was for him to do what he did. You're sitting up here, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm just about beside myself because it just doesn't make any damn sense for you to be doing stuff like that, man. Good grief. Now, Kirk Cousins already done cost us a fifth-round draft pick. Now, and I don't know what the league is going to do, but we do not need that type of publicity, that type of stain, that type of problem when we're trying to rebuild a team. Good grief, man.
John, appreciate the call. Of course, what John's talking about is Jax Ulbrich, the son of Jeff Ulbrich, prank calling Shedeur Sanders during the draft in one of the most Bush League and ridiculous actions I've seen from somebody. I understand he's not a kid. That's a full-grown adult.
He's 21 years old.
He's 21 years old. No, so I'm not giving him the benefit of that. No, you're an adult. You made a terrible decision, and you're a punk for that. We'll talk a little bit more about that at 8 o'clock. Well, we have our NFL pick six. We're going to do that there. I don't want to push too much into that right now. I feel some type of way about it. It's despicable. So, John, your point is well-received. But I do want to do this quickly before we go across the A. Draft grades are stupid. They're completely irrelevant. I talked to you already a little bit about what ESPN Plus rated as the Falcons draft grade for the first round where they make the trade with the Rams. They gave us an F. ESPN has since given us a C for the total draft grade. PFF's an A-. Pro Football Network gave us a C. Sports Illustrated gave us an A. NFL.com gave us a B, B-, and C-plus for each of the 3 days. Respectively. I'm here to tell you that draft grades are stupid. And the fact that we have an A, we had an F, we have C's, there's a B right there, that's a C+, tells me that it's all over the place, nobody has any idea, And it's just because that's true. Nobody has any idea what the Falcons have done in this draft grade, this draft class. Nobody has any idea. Like, the perfect example of this is going back to 2012. The Seattle Seahawks draft Bobby Wagner in the first round. They draft Russell Wilson in the, I believe, the third round that year. And Bleacher Report comes out and says that it's the two biggest reaches in the NFL draft. And if it wasn't for the fact that they had reached for Bobby Wagner, the Russell Wilson pick would be the worst pick of that draft class. They gave it an F. An F. Come on, folks. Do you know what the Seahawks did just a couple years later with those two guys leading the defense and the offense? They won a damn Super Bowl. One of the biggest blowout Super Bowl wins in NFL history. I mean, come on. And that's a perfect example. Nobody has any idea. Nobody knows. I've seen so many people on social media, at GChapATL on Twitter, if you feel so kind. I've seen so many people freaking out, saying, oh, the Falcons got an A draft grade. Oh, the Falcons got a whatever. It's irrelevant. It's fodder. It's the same thing as going up and down a schedule at the beginning of this season and saying, oh, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win. Nobody knows. You have no idea. It's all just hot air, really. It's all just hot air. And I know a lot of people are going to get all bent out of shape about it, but it's content. People like to read it, and that's about it. All right, that's enough of that. We got a little bit of time left. We might have to split this into two segments here. God, I'm just so fired up about this Falcons draft. All right, let's go across the air. Yeah, Braves and Diamondbacks. Braves win the series. That's another one series. Everybody who's ready to throw dirt on this Braves season, yeah, good luck with that. They had won 7 of their last 8 coming into today. They lose today, 6-4. Almost made a run of it there in that right there at the end of the game. But Corbin Carroll, he was the doomsday man for the Diamondbacks and the Braves today. He has 2 triples today. Crazy there, but. Friday, the Braves got the bats are alive and well. Chris Sale got back on track to some degree, gets 5 innings pitched, but only allows the 1 earned run. Eli White, too, by the way, has come alive in a big way. We've needed that from him. Saturday, the Braves won 8-7 in extra innings. Craziest note about that one, though, Eugenio Suarez, he hits 4 home runs. I think that's the 19th time in MLB history that that's happened. I wonder how many times it's happened and the team who did it lost. Kind of flies in the face of that, but Grant Holmes, he was shelled in this game, gave up 6 runs over 5.2 innings pitch, but almost all of those runs came on home runs. He allowed 3 of those in this game, but home runs really were the story of this game. Raisel Iglesias, he gives up another one. He blows the save in the bottom of the 9th. He's now surrendered more home runs in 10 innings pitched this year, 5, than he did through 69 and a third innings pitched last season, 4. I'm not worried about him yet. Not there yet. Just give him some time. We'll see what he can do. As long as you stop giving up those long balls, or at least just make it 1-run shots, limit the damage to some level. But you have a flamethrower, a guy who comes in and throws hard. That's kind of the thing that happens. It just is what it is. But the bats are back and alive for Atlanta. They had the 0-7 start, like we talked about. They're 12-8 since. 12-8 may not be enough to win a division, but they're getting back on track. And you talk about the mentality of this team. They're coming back to Atlanta. They're first in slugging, they're second in average, 3rd in home runs, 4th in WRC+, and 5th in on-base percentage since that 0-7 start. Everybody who was ready to throw dirt on the Braves, take a deep breath. Austin Riley's emerging. Sean Murphy now has 7 home runs in 15 games. Matt Olson's coming back around. Marcell Ozuna's doing his thing. Michael Harris is finally coming back around. He had another big day today. Had a big weekend out there in Arizona. Alex Verdugo has been a blessing to this team. Brought some swagger back to that clubhouse. We'll see if they can continue to build on it. They're still, I believe, 6.5 games out of the NL East lead. But again, checks my watch. It's April 27th. We got plenty of time. And my prediction here that I said on this show 2 weeks ago, the Braves are going to be back over 500 by May 10th. Looks like we're well on track there. Ian Anderson also back in Atlanta. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Plus, I have to talk about Atlanta United. We'll do that here on the other side. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm sitting here having some very interesting conversations here with my man, Dom Cherosky. He's taking care of me on the board, at Dom You're Live on Twitter. throw him a follow. And one thing I forgot to mention, if you throw me a follow on Twitter right now, I'll give you a shout-out for anybody who does follow throughout the course of the show. I know Andy Bunker does it, or he used to do that when he was on the Bunker Mentality in evenings here on the station. So I'm not ashamed to do it. I have no shame. None whatsoever. I'm trying to get some clout, man. Come on now. Throw me some love. I'll throw you some love back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But, yep, no, we are going across the A. And that involves all things Atlanta sports, but also we're going to go a little bit beyond that, too, because I do want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in these NBA playoffs, because I haven't been super tuned in until the last couple of days. The last couple of days have been really damn good. I'll let Dom talk about that here in just a moment. But here on the Atlanta side, Ian Anderson is back in a Braves uniform. Braves traded him earlier on in the season, and then he's almost instantly DFA'd by the LA Angels. And look, for anybody looking around and thinking that this is kind of a Jesse Chavez type situation, it is to some extent where Falcons are on the brain. The Braves love the guys who they've had in their clubhouse. It's something that's been very consistent with this team. They like guys who have been around this club. And if they have an opportunity to bring those guys back, generally speaking, those guys want to come back and be Braves. It's a good thing for Atlanta. It's a good thing for those guys, right? But as far as expectations are concerned for Ian Anderson, my expectations are about the exact same. There's a reason the Braves traded him. There's a reason the Angels DFA him. He's just not, he doesn't have the stuff. And I'd like to see him come back and be what he was in that World Series run in 2021, where he comes in and just is a young baller. But I just don't know how he gets back to that. He's been dealing with injuries throughout the course of the last couple of years, and it just doesn't have the stuff right now. And maybe the Braves hold on. I don't know what the contract situation looks like. I don't know if they sign him to a minor league deal. Wouldn't surprise me if they end up doing it. But they pull him off of waivers, and I would expect him to be with the team here very soon. I don't know what his role is, but this Braves team needs starting pitching. They really need some starting pitching. But the funniest thing about it, though, in the Jesse Chavez light, the Braves have a nasty habit of trading guys, getting capital back in return, and then those teams cutting their player that the Braves send them, and then Gush comes right back. It's like a boomerang for some of these guys, and it works out really well. But like I said, as we were exiting the last segment, the Atlanta Braves, their bats are coming alive in a big, big way, and they've needed to, because I think the bullpen's been better. Not awesome, but better. And starting pitching has really still left a lot to be desired. Spencer Schwellenbach had a good outing earlier this weekend, but Chris Sale is a guy who he needs to come around. He needs to get back on track. And he looked a little bit better out there in Arizona over the weekend, but I need more than what he gave us. I have an expectation for Chris Sale, and this team needs more from Chris Sale, especially now with Spencer Strider on the shelf again, Ronaldo Lopez on the shelf again. Oh, Lord have mercy. Grant Holmes is seemingly your most consistent guy right now. Spencer Schwellenbach has hit a bit of a rut here as of late. But Sale, 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 4 Ks. That's fine. That's okay. But that's not what we've come to know and expect from Chris Sale. We need a Chris Sale outing. We'll see what ends up happening with that. Braves do get they're on the road still. They continue this West Coast swing. Not all the way West Coast. Mountain time, I guess you could say. Colorado Rockies. They're there through Wednesday. We'll see what ends up happening here with that. But that's a series that the Braves can continue to win. Stack some wins. Stack some wins. You're playing some of the dumpster divers of the National League in the Colorado Rockies. This is a team that fired their hitting coach like 3 weeks into the season. I mean, if you can't get something going against that unit, I don't know what to tell you. But Braves are still on the right track. They've won 7 of their last 9 games. I think it continues over there in Colorado. But one thing that has been an absolute dumpster fire, Atlanta United. And I had to do the post-game show. I had the opportunity to do the post-game show last weekend, and they lost 3-0. I thought it was me. No, it's them. They lose 3-0 again down there in Orlando against those guys. Orlando City gets them 3-0, but they're in the midst of, I believe it's up to 366 consecutive minutes without a goal. 366 minutes. What are we doing? What are we doing? This is ridiculous. It is absurd what Atlanta United is doing or not doing. Score a damn goal. It's ridiculous what you're doing. You shelled out so much money. And don't come at me and talk about chemistry. Don't come at me and say, oh, it's going to come together. Just give it some time. Hell no. You gave me the same song and dance this time last year. Maybe it's just this time of year. Maybe that's just what it is. But you go out, you get a new manager. You bring in an influx of talent at the striker position. Lotti suspended it last game because he has more yellow cards than goals now. And Miguel Almiron has not been good enough. Alexei Marinchuk has shown flashes, but he's not good enough. Saba Lobjanice has shown flashes and effort, and all, I love that side of him, but he's not been good enough. It's not good enough. This is a team who we expected to be a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. Now we're looking at them in the exact same light that we saw them last year. A team struggling for answers and struggling to score goals. And the one shining object for this team, the one silver lining, is at least they weren't getting blown out. That's seriously something that I had as a silver lining of the first part of this season. The worst start in club history. The silver lining is, well, at least they're close. My ass, dude. Like, that's ridiculous. Now it's not even close. You're outscored 6-0 in your last two matches. I understand these are some solid teams. Like, Orlando City has had one of the best defenses here over the last couple of matches, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And I don't know who to blame. I don't know to blame Garth. I don't know if I need to blame Ronnie Dyla. I don't know if I need to blame these players, but it's not good enough. And it's a collective F from me for that team this year. It's unacceptable. And on top of that, what we saw from them coming out onto the, after the game and addressing the media, you sent out a 19 and 20-year-old to come address the media? That's unacceptable. Where are the leaders in the clubhouse? Where are the guys on that roster who are paid a lot of money to come in here and have the answers? Instead, we talk to them in training, and they say the same damn thing to us. Oh, we're frustrated. Oh, it's coming along. Oh, we're too nice. Yeah, you are too nice. And you're also not good enough. NBA playoffs. All right, let's jump into what's going on here. Another thing that I'm pretty fired up about is the fact that the Atlanta Hawks are not there. Second year in a row there. Maybe there's a move coming. I know I was chatting with you, Dom. I'm going to bring you in here. Dom, I'm interested in the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know if this is the offseason necessarily where they finally go make some of these big moves, get up into the luxury tax and push into the playoffs next year. But I think Giannis could be a guy who maybe could be one of the bigger decision makers of how this 2025 offseason goes.
Yeah, he was someone that we mentioned. Just obviously the Hawks need to add some. They need to add some length. They need to add some size. It feels like that's kind of the next step. You have a lot of young pieces there. They're going to have an opportunity to do that. Obviously, we haven't heard anything, but there's been just kind of just, I feel like I've heard that question pop up a lot of, what if Giannis asks for a trade in Milwaukee? Yeah. Like, he's kind of done everything you could ask for. Like, I've won an MVP. I've won a championship here. What more? Like, if he leaves Milwaukee, if he wants to leave Milwaukee, I think he's well within his right to. It's just a matter of, does he want to do that? And also, another thing that we talked about in that situation would be, is this a situation where, because the Hawks don't have a ton of capital to make a trade like that happen, so would you be trying to pair him with Giannis, or would you be sending Trey to Milwaukee in that instance because you're bringing Giannis to be the new face? It's a lot of nuance to it. Also, I think a more realistic option is Kevin Durant, because we know he's not going to be in Phoenix next year.
No. We know for a fact that he's not going to be in Phoenix. I think that whole situation, that whole experiment has been just an absolute disaster out there in Phoenix. And, of course, former Hawks head coach Mike Budenholzer, he is no longer the head guy out there. But, I mean, Trey's coming into a contract year, and I think it's a fair question. I talked to Chris Thomas about this when he was doing the reaction show after the Hawks got eliminated by the Heat. And I was like, hey, what if this is the last time we see Trey Young? And he kind of scoffed at it a little bit, and I know that the people who are listening right now are probably scoffing at it too, and I'm not trying to run him out either. I'm just saying, what if he asks out? What if the Hawks try to get ahead of things and say, hey, he's in his contract year. He doesn't sign that extension, you have to trade him. You have to get something for him. If he does sign the extension, then this is a moot point. We're just going to move on, right? So I think that needs to be a bit of a discussion point when he signs that contract. I think he just needs to get it done. But elsewhere in the NBA world, we do have this thing called the NBA playoffs. Oklahoma City They complete the sweep over the Grizzlies, 117-115, showing a little bit of life. But the Cavs, they take a commanding 3-0 lead over the Miami Heat, 124-87 winners there. But there was a wild game that took place earlier this evening. The Timberwolves and the Lakers, guys are scoring 30, 40 points. Luka goes crazy, but Anthony Edwards goes absolutely nuclear in this game.
Yeah, he went off. Like I said, they were both approaching 40. I talked to you a few days ago, and I kind of called my shot on this one. I'll pat myself on the back.
I'll pat you on the back, too. Yeah.
I had Minnesota knocking out the Lakers in the first round. They're up 3-1 after today.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting because, for all intents and purposes, we've been led to believe that this is the final time we're going to see LeBron James in the playoffs.
Probably.
So it's bittersweet. I want to be right on my pick, but I also kind of do want to see LeBron play more basketball.
Yeah.
But no, I do agree, though. I think that series has been good. There's been a lot of really good series. Like I said, it's funny. We joked at a few days ago about how, like, the opening weekend of the playoffs, there was a bunch of blowouts. And it was like, oh, man, is this kind of what it's going to look like? But no, since then, it's been entertaining from start to finish.
Yeah, the Nuggets, they get the win yesterday, 101-99. That series has been awesome.
That series has been so much fun, just back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Knotted up at 2. Then you have the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors are my dark horse team to win the Western Conference, win the whole damn thing. They're up 2-1 over the Rockets after the 104-93 win. That final was yesterday. The Knicks and the Pistons. This is a series that you and I, we talked a little bit about it. I thought that this series was going to be a little bit tighter, but 94-93 winners. The Knicks are in that one. And obviously, we'd have a completely different opinion of that if the Knicks don't get this win. If it's knotted up at 2 going back to Madison Square Garden, we're talking about it a little bit differently. Ultimately, I'm not a believer in the Knicks, but they should still win this series.
Well, they're also, you know, it's not an NBA playoffs without some controversy, because there was a little bit of controversy at the end of that game between the Pistons and the Knicks, where officiating came out, you know, the NBA came out and said, hey, yeah, there was a foul there. One should have been called.
That changes games, changes careers.
Changes the whole series.
Yeah. Changes games, changes careers, changes legacies, changes everything. If that game's 2-2 going back to Madison Square Garden,
totally,
we're talking about
vibe.
Upsets brewing.
Yep.
Upsets brewing, and at least potentially going 7 games there. But Lakers Timberwolves, like I mentioned, 116-113. Timberwolves on top. Anthony Edwards, the dog. Noted Georgian there. He gets the big game in there, in that one. Celtics and Magic. Celtics are leading this series 2-1. They lost game 3, I believe. 44-37 is your score in that one, second quarter. Pacers, Bucks tonight in a critical must win game for the Bucks. They can't go down 3-1. Otherwise, I think that's all she wrote in that one. But that's it for NBA playoff action that's going on right now. And of course, it's going to continue all throughout the week. But when we get back, we're going to go back to some NFL conversation, because that is what people care about right now. That is the biggest thing. The NFL draft just finished. Are the Falcons any closer to winning the NFC South in 2025 and maybe potentially making a Super Bowl run in 2026. I'll tell you why the answer is yes in about 5 minutes. You got to hang tight. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.